are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, March the 19th, and let's torture ourselves with some what-ifs today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press and PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter across the country for over a decade as well. Hope everyone is, first of all, staying healthy throughout the coronavirus situation that's going on, the quarantines, all that stuff. And second of all, hope that you're staying mentally healthy. I know it's kind of a drag. I wake up every day and it's like, oh, wow, nothing much going on today. Kind of a bleak feeling. Maybe you guys are handling it a little bit better than I am, or maybe even a little bit worse. And hopefully here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, we can help, you know, relieve some of the boredom, relieve some of the tedium, but also maybe the stressful situations you have around your house or your work situation, or maybe the financial situations that you might be facing. So we appreciate you guys listening and staying with us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. And I'm going to do my best to give you guys some interesting content over these past next few weeks. And this will be the Thursday show, putting up a little bit later in the day as it kind of will carry over to the Friday show. No, not planning to do a Friday show this week. Some weeks we will just have four a week during this kind of off-season period. But some weeks we'll still come with five. And, you know, Friday, I reserve the right to still do one if some news pops up or something really interesting pops into my head. But for now, planning on coming back on Monday morning instead of Friday. But today we got some of the latest news around the NBA. Not much going on, but there is free league pass for everyone. I dug around and wanted to tell you guys what's out there for that, even though there's no league. Got some famous what ifs. That's kind of the meat and potatoes of our show today. Got a couple of calls and a couple of tweets about that we wanted to go through in Pistons history. A little bit later on, we're going to talk to Dev Gossett of the Pistons GT team as well. We got those interviews lined up, so you know we're going to fire those out there to you guys as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Today's show brought to you by Postmates. I'm going to tell you about a special offer that they're giving everyone in the Locked On NBA community, and it's a great one, and one that's very apropos to these times we're living in. But news-wise, you know, various teams don't have coronavirus is the good news of the day, I guess. Oklahoma City, which was in that game that played against Rudy Gobert, was about to play against Rudy Gobert, Utah. They were tested, but if you look around the NBA media landscape yesterday on Wednesday, you saw Rod Beard of the Detroit News reporting that it was a private company that the Pistons got their test from. It seems like those stories were popping up. It seemed like Adam Silver was kind of leaning on teams to leak that kind of info after there's a little bit of outrage over why teams like the Jazz and the Nets and the Pistons, now Oklahoma City, why were they getting all these tests when nobody around the country can do it? So you look around the league, and that story was written by a lot of reporters out there. So that those teams were getting it through private testing as opposed to using what's available to the public, using some of the resources that were out there. So there's a little bit of outrage popping up. You can see the tweets about that people are like, how can rich NBA players get this and other people can't? Well, it seems like from what we can tell, a little bit two different methods of delivery, two different situations that we're talking about there. So NBA trying to CYA a little bit there with that message that they're getting out. But ESPN also reported, well, Adam Silver did a one-on-one with Rachel Nichols, with Adam Silver floating the possibility of maybe there being like an exhibition game for charity sometime soon. Obviously, that isn't going to be happening very soon, but he says that he thinks fans could use the diversion. We'll see if that ever takes form down the road and what form that could be like. You can imagine that any kind of live event like that, however meaningless in the grand scheme of things, would draw huge ratings and be a huge thing for leagues to tout and talk about Some other news, good news around here. Well, not good news in that why it was needed, but good positive news about an NBA player, local guy. Kyle Kuzma said he's partnering with the YMCA in Flint to donate meals to seniors impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. Program will include dinner and snack nightly starting March 23rd and will run at least 6 weeks. Expected to provide more than 550 meals per week. So kudos to Kyle Kuzma, who continues to do great work in his hometown of Flint, Michigan. Shout out to him. But I guess the biggest news on Wednesday was that the NBA announced that NBA League Pass is free until April 22nd. So you can see all the fun that everyone has been having with the horrible app that they have, the horrible website, the tech issues, and then you'll never consider buying it yourself after giving it a try. But just wanted to share with you guys what's out there on NBA League Pass. All the games from this year. So, Pistons fans, you want to go relive this season? Go ahead and do that. I don't, but maybe there's a couple games that you guys maybe hold up fondly for some reason. You got the opener against Indy, which, by the way, Fox Sports Detroit is going to be showing soon as well. You got the Houston game on the road, a surprise win there. Sekou at Boston in January, that was fun. The Denver win against and Super Bowl Sunday at home, I don't know, that wasn't that exciting. But the other games that I wanted to pass along, there's a bunch of historical games on there. I dug through there and found the Pistons games on there. Not super exciting, really, to be honest. Lew Cinder, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar against the Pistons in 1969. That was his first career game. Then you had Kevin McHale dropping 56 points on the Pistons in a 1985 game that's on there. Maybe most notably for Pistons fans, you got Isaiah Thomas winning the All-Star Game MVP in 1986, his second of two All-Star Game MVPs in the mid-80s. I watched the first quarter of that one, and maybe we'll do that as a rewatch episode here on Locked on Pistons. Kind of jaw-dropping to see Sidney Moncrief and Alvin Robertson starting for their respective teams, given that all the talent in the mid-80s in the NBA. But fun watching Magic and Bird and Isaiah go at it. Good times there. But for rewatching games, I mean, YouTube is still your best bet. Obviously, the quality is not quite there. But we'll dig up some games on YouTube. We'll do some rewatches as a family here going forward. We have plenty of time to kill. Lord knows that. Also, NBA TV, if you're a subscriber, go on the NBA app. Some games that are on there that are interesting. But again, this isn't part of the League Pass thing. As far as I understand, you have to be an NBA TV subscriber to get this. They've got a 1990 Christmas Day game where Michael Jordan dropped 37 for the Bulls over the Pistons there. They've also got the 92 Magic All-Star Game. If you're younger and you didn't hear about this or know about this, Magic, after announcing in 91 that he had HIV, this was like a transcendent moment at the time. It's one of those things that doesn't, in my mind, get talked about enough. But Magic, you know, post-announcement a year and a half or so later, comes back, or actually just about a year after that, comes back and plays in the All-Star Game. It's kind of the precursor to the Dream Team that summer. Just kind of an unbelievable moment. I can remember watching that as a young kid. And then you got the Kobe games, of course, 81-point game, his final game as well. And all the finals games for Pistons fans in 04 and 05, you can watch those. All the NBA Finals 2000 to present day are on the NBA app if you're an NBA TV subscriber. So let me know which one of those games stand out to you guys as games that you would like to rewatch as Pistons fans, as we can kind of relive some of this stuff. Obviously, the games 4 and 5 of the 2004 finals stand out. I'm interested in watching some of these old Jordan games as well. So let's do some rewatching. We'll do some game nights here on Locked on Pistons. Should be a good time. But let's torture ourselves a little bit after the break and talk about some what-ifs in Pistons history. Talking history today, and why not? But that's coming up next here on the Locked on Pistons podcast. But hey, don't know that we've had a more apropos sponsor here on the Locked on Pistons podcast. I've used this app at least once this week, and I will definitely use it before the weekend is out as well. If you're like me, you're probably thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant I can think of that is still open right to my door. The Postmates doesn't deliver just burgers and sushi. They also make life easier with grocery delivery and whatever I can think of delivery as well. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it. Postmates is your answer. So no more trips to the store, no more late night food night fast food runs. I don't even have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDONNBA. That's code LOCKEDONNBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it.
Yes, sir!
Right, a little bit later on, we're going to talk to Dev Goss. Devin Gossett is one of the players on the NBA 2K League franchise, the Pistons GT team. We're sweeping through all of those interviews here over the next coming days, and we're running out of them. So we're going to need to find some more interviews. Who do you want to talk to? Who do you want to hear from out there in the Pistons land? I enjoyed our talk with Blake Sebring of Fort Wayne Sports Historian the other day. If you haven't listened to that episode, I would encourage you. Got some good feedback on that one as well. Interesting stuff about the origination of the Detroit Pistons franchise down there in Fort Wayne, Indiana. But we're talking about what ifs here today on the show. And of course, I banned everyone from giving the idea of what if the Pistons didn't draft Darko Milicic, number two in the 2003 draft. Obviously, Chris Bosh, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, take your pick. That's kind of the most talked about what ifs and the most logical what ifs. You know, maybe you believe that rookie Carmelo Anthony somehow screws up the dynamic of the 2004 Pistons championship team. Maybe they need to play him. Maybe Tayshaun doesn't get the look that he did. Maybe he doesn't play in some of the series that he ended up making an impact on and stopping defensively some of the better wings in the NBA at that time. Interesting thoughts, all of them. Of course, these what-ifs we'll never know the complete answer to. But, I barred everyone from talking about Darko because I know that's conversations that's been had and had and had over the years with Detroit Pistons fandom. But let's hit the phone lines and get to your what-ifs now. These were callers that called us on 810-666-1546. We've got open lines during this shutdown here. So call us with any of the prompts we talk about or any ideas or things that you want to get off your chest. Help your mental health by getting some ideas and some thoughts about the Pistons or thoughts about the show off 810-666-1546. Let's hit the phone lines.
Hey, this is Wyatt. I'm from Findlay, Ohio, and I was just curious if you could discuss one of the biggest what-ifs I think of is if Kobe Bryant wouldn't have used his no-trade clause and we would have gotten him in 2007. I believe the trade was Tayshaun Prince and Rip Hamilton for him. What do you think would have happened if that had gone through? Thanks. Bye.
Yes, the Kobe Bryant trade. Thanks to Wyatt from Findlay. I think my brother played in a soccer tournament in Findlay, Ohio once. Good times there. But yes, I believe the trade, as reported, was a first-round pick, Tayshaun Prince, Rip Hamilton, and Amir Johnson for Kobe Bryant. This was in 2007. I remember at the time this was being talked about on WDFN, kind of an unfounded rumor back then. Kobe would confirm it later on a documentary about Jerry Buss. Vince Ellis of the Free Press confirmed it years later as well, that this was a done deal, and Kobe invoked the no-trade clause. This was at a time that I was screaming for the Pistons to make a shakeup. I know, obviously, we think back at the going-to-work era fondly, as we should, no doubt about that, but this was the post-championship, the Flip Saunders going-to-work era when things kind of dragged on a little bit. LeBron James drove a stake into the heart of the Pistons in the spring of 2007, and they just kind of prolonged it a little bit more. I thought back then that they should have reunited Kevin Garnett with Flip Saunders, put together a similar package than the one they put together for Kobe, except give it up for KG. Boston ended up doing that exact thing that year, ended up winning a title and going to the finals, yet the Pistons didn't make the deal and ended up losing to Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals that next season. So LeBron eviscerates the Pistons in 2007. The Pistons come into 07-08 with pretty much the same team. This is post-Ben Wallace. And they get beat by Boston in six in the Eastern Conference Finals in 2008. The last playoff win for the Pistons. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a kind of a no-brainer that things, if they make the Kobe trade, that things work out well on the other side of it. Again, nice that the Pistons were able to get to that last Eastern Conference Finals against Boston. I don't mean to completely poo-poo getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. But for all intents and purposes, like, this run was over with the going to work era. It needed a shakeup. Of course, later on, the Iverson move for Chauncey was the wrong one. You know, it's funny because at the time, if I was looking at the roster and I was thinking, Billups was the guy that you should keep because of his craftiness and his shooting. He was the leader of that group. That meant his game would kind of age the best out of all these guys. I never thought Tayshaun was going to make the leap. He never did. I figured you put some mileage on Rip, maybe some injuries in there. You sap the superior athleticism that he would have, that he would kind of fade, and he did. Like I said, Ben was already gone at that point. He left for Chicago the year before. You know, his game was all athleticism, and he faded too. As we know, Rasheed Wallace, you know, he wasn't going to dig deep and find another gear after winning it all back in 04. He didn't. McDice was in a different phase of his career, kind of a role player at that point. But Joe somehow thought that Billups was the one to trade. But, you know, he was the only one who had big NBA moments after this point for those guys. But anyway, if you make the trade that was proposed and turned down by Kobe, then you got Kobe running the show. You got Chauncey there as kind of still the point guard, but then you put the ball in Kobe's hands quite a bit. He becomes that spot-up shooter, which is a role that he persevered in and could have been fine in. Good standstill shooter for the NBA. You got Sheed and McDice at the time. The bench, that back then, you got Stuckey, Maxiel, Jarvis Hayes playing quite a bit. Flip Murray as well. You'd like to think that somehow you find like a Tayshaun replacement, like a Tayshaun Light, someone who could be a reliable, play defense. And those were kind of the guys that Kobe always seemed to have alongside of him in L.A. The Rick Fox, Robert Horry, Derek Fisher types, a vet or two like that in your closing five that the Pistons would have needed to find on the wing at that point. But yeah, man, that would have been great. We know that Kobe obviously went on to win more titles with L.A. They figured out a way to make it work around him with Pau Gasol. But man, would have been some nice times for Pistons fans. By the way, Amir Johnson, remember when he was considered like a viable trade piece, a big-time prospect back then? One of the final guys straight from high school, went on to a long career. He did not play this past season in the league, but he logged 14 years in the NBA. And you know what I thought was interesting? I was looking at his basketball reference just now. He never changed teams within a season in 14 years. I thought that might be pretty rare. 14 years and always the same team from the start of a season to the finish. Never got traded during a season, never got bought out, never cut at the end of his year and stuck on with someone else or anything like that like we see guys do all the time. At 21 years old, after four seasons with the Pistons, he was eventually traded by Joe Dumars to Milwaukee in 2009 to clear cap. The Pistons get Fabricio Oberto from San Antonio. Well, he was actually from Milwaukee. He had been traded by San Antonio days before, and the Pistons ended up buying out Oberto, and he went back to San Antonio. So literally just a salary cap move by Joe Dumars to clear out a 21-year-old Amir Johnson so the Pistons could go out and get Charlie V and Ben Gordon that offseason. Jesus, I mean, talk about squandering value early by not dealing Amir Johnson as a 20-year-old, then selling low by clearing him out for nothing at 21. The guy eventually had a long and a pretty good career. I won't hear the Joe D revisionist history folks out there. I mean, he was just awful in the second half of his tenure with the Detroit Pistons after being so great in his first half of his tenure as executive with the Pistons. And everything related to Amir Johnson was part of that. The drafting of him in the second round was great, and then just handled him completely poorly after that. And my buddy Eric Herter, by the way, reached out with another famous what if. What if the Pistons kept Spencer Dinwiddie and Chris Middleton? Yeah, that would have helped, no doubt about that. I think we've talked about those guys enough, too. But just to go back on what we talked about, we've gone long, as we always do, so we're going to hold on to Dev Gossett. We'll talk to him next week. Lord knows that we've got to hold on to the precious content we have, hoard the content during the slowdown here. But we've got another caller that we're going to get to next to talk about what ifs. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
What's up, Matt? Just Chubbs here, calling from Detroit. I got a few what ifs. I'm gonna start off with this one. What if Grant Hill doesn't get hurt, and that's number he's a free agent? We end up signing T-Mac and or Tim Thomas that year. Number two, what if we draft C.J. McCollum and Klay Thompson instead of Brandon Knight and KCP those back-to-back years? Then maybe we just might have one of the greatest shooting backcourts ever. Number three, what if we was actually able to sign Shaquille O'Neal and team him up with Allen Houston and Grant Hill? That would have been crazy. It was even crazy just to find out Shaq was looking at coming to Detroit when he was a free agent before he signed with the Lakers. And my last and final one, what if we get the number one pick in this upcoming draft? I'm going to just say draft LaMelo. I like Anthony Edwards as a scorer, but if it's a point guard we need, draft LaMelo Ball. That's all I got for now for the what ifs. Thanks again, Matt. It's Chubbs. Everybody have a good one.
Thank you, Chubbs. Appreciate the call. With Grant Hill leaving that year instead of maybe staying and bringing some other players along with him, it feels like that relationship was already frayed at that point. And Chubbs brings up a good point there. We always talk about Stanley Johnson and Devin Booker and Luke Kennard and Donovan Mitchell, but it's like the Pistons kind of get a pass. We don't talk enough about the Brandon Knight pick and the KCP pick. Those kind of get let off the hook. And, of course, good players were available at that time, and it would have been nice to have McCollum or Klay Thompson along for the ride with the Pistons. Shaq with Houston and Hill kind of brings up an interesting thought for me. I've long thought about the Allen Houston situation. How were rookie salaries structured so that Houston was able to leave the Pistons after 3 years? Was it? I tried to research this and look this up, and maybe one of you guys has a better memory. Obviously now, if you draft a player in the first round, you get them for you have their rights for 4 years, assuming they sign a typical contract, and then you have restricted rights for a fifth year after that as well. So to have a guy come in for 3 years, be a burgeoning star, and bounce for big money to the New York Knicks, seems like a raw deal for the Pistons there. But was trying to research that and read some articles. Sam Smith, the Chicago Tribune, after the divorce of Allen Houston and the Pistons, talks about this. And it's something that I'm probably going to get into in a later episode. But some details from this. Apparently, members of the Houston, pretty much every principal member of the Houston, of the Pistons, quote unquote, refused to respond to invitations to go to Allen Houston's wedding in the summer after he left the Pistons. Hill said that he didn't return calls from Allen Houston before the reunion game in Detroit when Houston came back for the first time. Quote unquote from the quoting from the article, the word in Detroit is Houston was pushed out by his agent, Bill Strickland, who unsuccessfully tried to recruit Hill out of college, but was so pushy that Grant Hill's mother wrote a letter of complaint about Strickland to his firm. Strickland then allegedly worked to turn Houston against Hill. And then Hill confirmed that he didn't return calls to Allen Houston. Allen called last week. I've been around here for 4 or 5 months and no phone call. Then he's going to call me a week before we play. I've been busy. Sorry, I haven't gotten back. What more can I say? And then said Houston, who in his return shot 1 for 4 from the field in 20 minutes with 4 turnovers. I expected a lot of boos. I didn't know how harsh they would be. I pretty much expected the reaction I got. It's like you are against the world. I wasn't nervous. I just wanted to come out and do something. It was very disappointing. Very disappointing. End quote. So some juicy times that I don't specifically recall offhand. So I want to deep dive a little bit more into that as time goes on here during our shutdown. Chubb's also talking about LaMelo being the top pick if the Pistons were able to get it. You know, this draft's going to be a crapshoot. And if you like LaMelo, obviously I think the ceiling for him is pretty high, so I get it. The position of need being point guard as well, I get that too. So I don't know. I just hope the draft happens at this point, and certainly we'll talk about hypotheticals like that going forward. And again, as I've said many times, I got my own opinions about this draft, but just the way that this draft is shaping up, I'm not going to tear down anyone about their opinions about it. LaMelo, to me, is a little bit further down on my list due to he just wasn't very good in the Australian League this past year. The counting numbers were good. The efficiency, not good at all. The shooting is obviously a work in progress for him. But again, it's a draft where I'm not going to criticize anyone's opinions. It's a little bit of a crapshoot. and we'll see how that goes. And obviously we'll talk about that more as time goes on. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. This is your host, Matt Shook. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Have a great day, everyone. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.